Hello, I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Tash.
And you're listening to episode 271. Isn't it 272?
No, 271.
Oh, sorry. You're listening to episode 271 of Chat Disney. Oh, it's me, isn't it? Welcome back to another episode of the Chat Disney podcast. I had a baby last year, can you tell? And this week we are talking about, you guessed it, the worst of the worst Disney shorts. So we've kind of been on like a little bit of an exploration recently of like a little mini series of Pixar shorts, the best and worst. We did the best Disney shorts last week. So to round this all off, we are going to be discussing our choices for the worst of the Disney shorts this week. But before we head into that, let's have a quick look at all of the cool stuff that's been happening in the world of Disney this past week.
So it's been a bit of a quiet news week again this week, but we do have some updates from Walt Disney World. And we now know that Tiana's Bayou Adventure will be opening on June the 28th. So in almost 1 month's time, it's finally going to open. Very, very exciting. And it will be using a virtual queue upon opening. Now, the way this works is guests can basically request to join the virtual queue by the My Disney Experience app at one of two times. So it will be 7 a.m. or 1 p.m. So when it first opens, a standby queue will not be available. That will happen later on down the line, but Disney has said that they do expect to open a standby queue soon after the attraction opens, so hopefully it won't be too long to wait for that. They have also announced this week that Tiana's Bayou Adventure will be available as a lightning lane. Now the prices for this are going to range from $23 to $39. Ouch. I mean, I have a lot of opinions about lightning lanes. $40 almost to go on an attraction and save yourself some time, if you've got a family of four, is just insanity to me. It is a lot of money to pay to go on that ride when you've already paid an obscene amount of money to be in Disney. So there we go. That's my opinion on that. We have also had another first look. It's all about the first looks this week. We've had another first look at the Disney Dreams that Soar, the new drone show that is going to be coming to Disney Springs at the end of the month. And we've seen that they're going to feature characters including Dumbo, Peter Pan, Wooly, and Eve. And it's all basically based around characters that have big, big dreams. So really excited to see some more of this. There's been a lot of talk about Halloween as well this week, as we are on the halfway point to Disney starting their Halloween celebration. So they have made a lot of reveals, again, more first looks, it's all first looks this week, about some of the things that we are going to be getting at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. So we have got brand new costumes for Mickey and Minnie Mouse, which I actually really like. I'm very, very cute, kind of got like a green purple theme going on, very Halloween-y, but yeah, really, really like it. And they've announced that there's going to be some more villain sightings, which is really exciting. Bruno Madrigal is going to be joining in the fun this year. He will be doing meet and greets alongside Mirabelle at the Fairytale Garden, so that's really exciting. And there will be a new earlier start time as well for the Mickey's Boo to You Halloween Parade as well. And this is just the start of it. There will, of course, be tons more announcements to come as we do get closer to Halloween, because it is such a big deal in the world of Disney. And finally, finishing off with some cruise news. And you guessed it, another first look. We have had the first look at the Haunted Mansion parlor that is going to be coming to the Disney Treasure. Really, really excited about this. We have now seen some photos of the decor, some of the artwork, and some of the drinkware, which all looks really, really cool. I'm just gutted this is not coming to one of the parks, because I probably won't be going on that cruise anytime soon. And there we have it. That is pretty much everything that has been happening in the world of Disney this week. Let's move on to the main part of the episode. So, Mercedes,
I know we said this when we were talking about our worst Disney shorts. I found this really hard. I mean, there are a plethora of Disney shorts. I think we're more limited when it comes to Pixar. There are so many Disney shorts when you look at all the Silly Symphonies as well. But there's a lot that I haven't actually seen. I'm not going to, you know, sit here and claim that I've seen all the Silly Symphonies because I absolutely haven't. There were a few that I saw sort of regularly growing up and then a few that I've watched as I've gotten older and a few that I watched as research for part of this little mini series that we're doing. But a lot that I haven't seen, and there's a lot of them. I mean, I think this is the way whenever we do these worst lists, right? Like there's a lot of things that don't appeal to me, but I still think they are produced very well or they're written very well. So kind of disclaimer for my list, a lot of the work is actually really credible and really good. It's just that it's not my cup of tea. That's the easiest way I found to approach this list.
Yeah, for sure. And you're absolutely right. You know, when we did the Pixar list, it was difficult for a different reason. The reason that we struggled to come up with 10 Pixar shorts that we didn't love is because we love all of them. And I think we kind of grew up with them. We have seen all of them numerous times. So picking 10 that we didn't love was a real challenge. Whereas this week, I found this incredibly easy because there is so much choice. Again, a disclaimer, I absolutely am not claiming to have watched all of the Disney shorts out there, like Tash said. And to be honest, I probably didn't research as in depth as I would have liked. I would have loved to have actually watched all of them so I could credibly say these are my choices for the worst 10. But of those that I've seen, of those that I remember from childhood and those that I watched in preparation for this episode, I've gone with the 5 that, as you say, Tash, I find to be the least enjoyable, and we'll explain our kind of choices for why for each one as well. So another little disclaimer as well, and we did talk about this last week when we were going through our favorite Disney shorts, but we are absolutely not going to be including anything today that stars the Fab Five. So you're not going to see Goofy's The Art of Skiing or Steamboat Willie today. Not that we would mention them anyway, because they're some of the best. We've also not included anything that stars a Disney character from a feature-length movie. So you're not going to find Tangled Ever After in here or any of the Olaf shorts, which again, why would you find them in a worse list when they are excellent? So with all of that in mind, Tash, do you want to kick us off with your choice? So this is number 10, I guess. The 10th worst Disney short.
Sure. So I, again, looking across sort of all the options of Disney shorts, had a good look at the Silly Symphonies, and there was a lot of them that I started to think, well, maybe I'll put that on my list, and then rewatched it and was like, actually no, I quite like this. But there was one that was really easy to go on my list, and it is The Golden Touch. Now I like my Silly Symphonies to be, you know, quite whimsy, whimsical, really lighthearted, really fun. I like it, you know, like I had Flowers and Trees in my list last year. I like it when we have animations of, you know, things that aren't generally real in real life, like the Cookie Carnival. Again, they are not real things. So that's what I like when it comes to Silly Symphonies. And The Golden Touch is not really that at all. So it's basically, it's based on a Greek mythology of King Midas, but this one is set in a more medieval setting.
Midas. You must have heard of Midas.
I know Midas, yeah.
Okay, good. Sorry, you did that.
It's just one of those funny things that I pronounce like Indiana.
Indiana Jones. I thought it was like that, but I wasn't sure.
But I've lost my train of thought now. The story is basically this, you know, horrible, greedy king who is obsessed with gold and he wants to collect all the gold that he can. And then one day, a little leprechaun pops out of thin air and basically gives him the gift of being able to turn anything to gold just by touching it. And he does give him a warning, but this king is so greedy that he doesn't see the warning and he just wants this gift to be able to touch. Well, everything he touches turns to gold. And soon he realizes that actually it's a curse, not a blessing, because when he's trying to eat his, you know, gluttonous feast, he picks up the turkey or the chicken, whatever it is, and it turns to gold. And then it basically finishes by him begging to have this gift taken away from him. The thing that I really hate about this is, like I say, the main thing is that I just hate the animation style. Like the, not the animation style, but the way that that king is animated, like, I find him really gross and just, he makes me cringe a little bit. This short was actually directed by Walt himself. He'd been previously criticizing some of the directors of the Sydney Symphony, so he decided to do this one himself. And unfortunately for poor old Walt, it was an immediate failure. A lot of people found the king, again, like I said, gross. He was way too unempathetic for audiences to get any enjoyment out of him. So yeah, that's basically why it wasn't great back then. I still don't like it now. The other thing that really irks me about it is the leprechaun. I just cannot bear that leprechaun's voice. It's voiced by like a 30-year-old woman, but it sounds like a child. And I don't think it fits with the leprechaun. Also, the leprechaun is obviously meant to be the good character in this, and I just don't think the animation for me doesn't add up with that. Again, I find them quite creepy looking, which I know maybe leprechauns are, I don't know, but for me it's just a failure on all parts.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, Tash, because I also had The Golden Touch as the first one up on my list. So it's a collective 9th and 10th for our picks for the worst ever Disney shorts. And I dislike it for really, really similar reasons to you, Tash. It does have an original score, which is nice. And again, we get to see the Silly Symphonies play around with music. So that's a bonus for it. But other than that, I think it's a really slow start. Again, you know, we're all really familiar with, you know, Midas, as Tash said, is this is going to be like another John Lasseter thing. But we're all really familiar with that story. So it's like, when it starts, you're like, yeah, we get it. Like, he's going to be like, come on. It's really slow to start, I feel. I completely agree with you, Tash. The animation style doesn't bother me. It's the character design of Midas and the leprechaun. They're ugly. They're grotesque. The leprechaun to me looks like an old man, but sounds like a baby. And that's where it's jarring. Like the age of the leprechaun. I expect to see a middle-aged leprechaun with a nice big ginger beard. And instead we've got Dopey with big black eyebrows looking like a bald baby old man hybrid. It's really quite creepy. If you haven't seen it already, go and have a look. So yeah, I mean, it's got 6.8 on IMDb, which you might think is high. But as we mentioned in last week and when we did the Pixar shorts generally seem to get quite high scores. So actually anything in the sixes for a short is kind of mediocre, run of the mill. So it's definitely not a popular one. Other things to know, obviously it came out just after kind of the Great Depression around that era, and it really was a depiction of the concerns with materialism and the consequences of greed, so it was quite relevant for its time. It was nominated and actually won an Academy Award for Best Animated Short Subject, if you can believe that. So at the time, you know, Walt obviously did know what he was doing. It won an award. Certainly not one of the most popular shorts, though. It was the 10th Silly Symphony produced by Disney. And it is actually considered to be one of the more sophisticated Silly Symphonies when you look at the really early work. If you compare it to something like A Skeleton Dance, there's obviously a much clearer narrative. There's a moral to the story. Again, it's Disney adapting a very popular legend myth. And I think that's where Disney shines. So it does have some things going for it, which is why, you know, I've got it kind of lower down on this list and why it was my first choice. But there we go. Great minds think alike, Tash.
Absolutely. So this is where I always get confused. Is it my turn now or is it your turn?
I don't think it matters. I'll go. Why not? Just, well, I guess in case we've got any other duplicates, I don't know. We will see. So next, this is technically number 8 then, I guess, if the Golden Touch is getting 10th and 9th place collaboratively. I have got short, which interestingly is linked to another short, and I actually spoke about the short that it's linked to last week in my best episode, or our best episode. My best pick is what I meant to say. So I have actually gone for The Big Bad Wolf, which is, as you might imagine, a sequel to The Three Little Pigs. And I distinctly remember watching these Three Little Pig shorts on Disney Channel when I was a little girl. There's a whole series of these Silly Symphonies that are around the Three Little Pigs. but there are a few reasons why, for me, The Big Bad Wolf falls a little bit short. So it does have 6.9 on IMDb, which, you know, as I say, is not a bad rating for a short. It's a little bit low and kind of middle of the road. It is a sequel to The Three Little Pigs, but one of the things that annoys me about it is it's really difficult to actually place if it predates the events of The Three Little Pigs or if it happens afterwards. And the reason I say that is because the three little pigs still sing that song, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf, even though they've encountered him and kind of had, you know, the whole narrative of the three little pigs played out. Also, when we see Practical Pig in the short, he's still building his house. And obviously the houses are like done in The Three Little Pigs. So I'm like, okay, that confuses me. But the thing that annoys me the most about The Big Bad Wolf is the fact that it is just Little Red Riding Hood. So we're introduced to this Little Red Riding Hood character who's very, very reminiscent of the kind of Alice character from those early Alice shorts. And I just don't understand why. Like, they could have still had the same Big Bad Wolf character in the Little Red Riding Hood short, but it almost feels like a lack of confidence on Disney's part to kind of adapt another famous fairy tale. It's like, oh, we know that people liked the pigs. We know that was successful. We know people liked the music. Let's just keep all of those elements and we'll just chuck Little Red Riding Hood in as well. And that is really odd to me because, you know, we know the story of Little Red Riding Hood. So we know where this is going. It just seems weird to me, at least, that the pigs are there and she is there. And I know they have a common enemy, but it just seems a little bit strange. I also don't love the fact that it's quite slow paced again. This is a common theme for me. I don't like these slower paced silly symphonies. I don't like the wolf in drag. He dresses up as Goldilocks the Fairy Queen to try and like lure Red Riding Hood and two of the pigs into a trap in the wood. And it just feels like a really cheap gag that, you know, we used to see a lot in old cartoons, but kind of feels unnecessary for me. I guess the Big Bad Wolf's design and personality kind of set that standard of future depictions of the character as well, because we did get to see him in lots of different guises through these silly symphonies. And I think any kind of interpretation of the Big Bad Wolf and the Three Little Pigs going forward probably have come from this. So that is a really good thing. And I do think that, you know, Disney's main skill is really adapting classic fairy tales, which they do here. But apart from that, I really do struggle to find anything redeeming about this, because ultimately it's, for me, a short version of the Little Red Riding Hood, but it misses that. It's not quite that. And I'd rather it was just that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Again, this is another one that I did watch a couple of times growing up, but it was never one of my favourites. I love the story of Little Red Riding Hood. I think I was quite obsessed with it as a child. Like, I had like a Little Red Riding Hood costume. I had a puppet that turned into the grandma, the wolf, and Little Red Riding Hood. I was a big fan. And yeah, I would have loved to have seen like that done as its whole own short. But I do think that you're right, and Disney have missed the mark there.
You have just reminded me of a core memory of my childhood. You have just unlocked something I'm so excited about. Did you ever have, I had two of these, one from Jamaica and one from the UK. Did you ever have like a doll? It was kind of like, how would I describe it? It was a doll, and it had a long skirt, and when you turned it upside down and flipped the skirt, there was a different doll underneath.
Yes, I know exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what this puppet was. But then I think because it was three, so I think the wolf was one side, and then you turned it over, and then there was a hat that moved from like,
yes, I had this.
Two faces.
Yeah. So no, what it was I had, no, this is exactly what I had. So I had, it was Little Red Riding Hood. And when you flipped her over, it was Granny wearing the bonnet and everything. And then that Granny's bonnet went forward and it was the wolf in the Granny's dress.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I had that too. How weird.
That's so bizarre.
And then the other one that I had from Jamaica was a Jamaican lady, and one side was just a Jamaican lady in a floral dress. And then when you tipped her the other way, it was a different lady in a different floral dress, and she was pregnant. So I used to pretend that she gave birth to a daughter, and then the daughter grew up and that was the other lady.
So random.
So funny.
Yeah, I love that. That is great. Yeah, I think my nan bought it for me. My parents have still probably got it somewhere.
That's so funny. I had that doll.
Anyway, moving on. So next up on my list is a short that I had actually completely forgot existed. I first watched it when I lived in China, which is actually how I watched quite a few of these shorts that are on my list today. Benji, my husband, there was like a cheap, not saying it was legal, DVD store near where we lived, and you could buy DVDs for basically about a pound or the equivalent of a pound. And he bought a DVD of Disney animated shorts, and there were things on it like Frozen Fever was on it. There was a Goofy short on it, and then there was quite a few other just random shorts, and this was one of them. And I remember at the time being like, what the hell have I just watched? And this is what I was saying at the beginning, where I think that this short is really, really well produced. I do actually think it's a really fantastic story, but for me it's just a little bit too dark. But it is Lorenzo, so if you have not seen it or familiar with it, unfortunately you will not find it on Disney Plus, but it is available to watch on YouTube because I went and re-watched it. And if you go and watch it, then you'll probably understand why it's not accessible on Disney Plus. But this was basically one of the shorts that was created in, like, I think it was 1949 when they first started work on it. And then it was shelved, it was abandoned. And then they picked it up years later. And this happened with quite a few shorts. And it was intended for the abandoned 2006 Fantasia project, which again was shelved, never actually ended up happening. But what they did do is a lot of the shorts that were intended for that third installment of Fantasia were then released as their own individual shorts, and this is one of them. And fitting with kind of the theme of Fantasia and how it's all about, you know, animation set to music, it has a really strong tango soundtrack. I don't know what the song is actually called. I'm not sure if it's a familiar, if it's a original. I don't think it is an original score, but yeah, it's got a very strong tango soundtrack. And the story is basically about, again, a greedy, what is it with me and greedy characters today, a greedy gluttonous cat who has this gorgeous fluffy tail, and he kind of shows it off in front of all these other like poor scrawny skinny cats. And then a black cat comes along and basically puts a hex on him. And so the tail kind of becomes possessed and has a life of its own. And then what ensues is a montage of the cat basically trying to attack his own tail to basically get it back to what it was. And, you know, you have a series of different things. Like, I think he tries to set, like, explode it at one point by setting it to light to one of those, you know, like in animation when someone's gonna set fire to something and it's like a triangle thing, like a firework, I guess.
No, I don't know.
You will know exactly what I mean. I'm trying to think of something that I've seen it in, but like often you'll see like characters strapped to it, and it's like a rocket, like in Toy Story. It's like a rocket, basically. You look very confused.
In Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamite, that's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think at one point he tries to strap it to Dynamite and that doesn't work. And then at one point he tries to attach his tail or, like, stick his tail onto a train line so it gets run over and nothing works. And then at the end you basically have this really dark bit where the original cat that put the hex on him comes over to him with this really sharp knife, and then it kind of cuts out. But what we're led to believe is then he chops his own tail off. And like I say, it's really, really well written. It is an enjoyable short to watch, but for me, it's just that little bit too dark. It's a great story. I think, Mercedes, if you haven't seen it, I definitely think you'll probably enjoy watching it. It's all hand-drawn animation. The director, you know, hand-painted all the backdrops himself. But yeah, for me, it's just, it's not one of the best ones, and it's not the sort of thing that I'm going to be sticking on the regular.
I haven't seen it. Why do you think I would like it then if you don't?
I don't think you would like it, but I think you would like, it's not one that you would put on and be like, this is boring. I think you'd like, okay, you'd watch it and be like, okay, yeah, this is, it's worth a watch. But I mean, you don't like cats, so.
No, I don't.
But yeah, it's worth a watch. That's what I would say. But
okay,
I think
I'll like, definitely watch it.
Yeah, I think like using the animation of the cat, it adds like a real lightheartedness to it and almost like a comedic element to it. Whereas actually like the subject matter at heart is really quite dark.
Yes, yeah, which I guess is kind of like the essence of what the Pixar shorts do, right? We spoke about that a lot, using kind of inanimate objects and animals to tell a deeper story. So yeah, I did go and watch The Ballad of Nessie on your recommendation, and I thought it was cute.
Good, yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I'll add this to the list. Cool. Okay, so up next, I have got another Silly Symphony. Spoiler alert, all five of mine today are Silly Symphonies. And this one, surprise, surprise, you probably could have guessed it with my last choice, is the third and final Silly Symphony that features the three little pigs. I have got The Practical Pig. It has a 6.9 on IMDb, which means it's, again, ranked a little bit more highly than some of the shorts that we're going to be talking about today, but it's still definitely not regarded some of Disney's finest work. And the first thing that you might be thinking about The Practical Pig is that you remember it from childhood, or perhaps you have a distant memory of it, but you certainly won't have watched it recently on Disney Plus, because The Practical Pig is not on Disney Plus. And so immediately, if you listen to last week's episode about the Cookie Carnival, you'll be thinking, why is this not on Disney Plus? So I did give it another watch. You can find all of the Silly Symphonies on YouTube, because I was curious. I remembered it as a kid and I wanted to refresh my memory. And also I was like, why is it not on Disney Plus? I wanted to kind of find out a bit more. And I couldn't find anything resounding online as to why it's not on Disney Plus. What I think personally is, I could be wrong, but basically at the end of the shorts, I'm just going to spoil it before I talk about it and talk about the ending. There's quite a violent scene where the three little wolf cubs, so the big bad wolf's children, who also have their own Silly Symphony, they put two of the pigs, Piper Pig and Fifer Pig, in a pie. And there's a lot of like flames, and like they're put in an oven, and that's probably not appropriate for children today, seeing like two protagonists shoved in a pie and in a hot fiery oven. So that's why I think it's not on Disney Plus, but I could be wrong. I actually don't know. So basically The Practical Pig, this time it's really, really clear that it does take place after the events of the first two Three Little Pigs shorts, because Practical Pig's house is completed. The other two pigs change the lyrics to "He's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf," talking about Practical Pig. And it's, yeah, just obvious that it takes place after the original. However, have his brothers learned to not go looking for the Big Bad Wolf? Absolutely not. They decide they're going to go swimming. They ignore Practical Pig's advice and they get themselves hoodwinked, basically, by the Big Bad Wolf, again in drag. This time he's dressed as a mermaid and he lures the pigs back to his house, where, as I say, his little cubs are waiting, and they do bake the pigs into a pie. So the reason that I'm not a big lover of this one is that, again, I think it's just a really unnecessary short. I do think that the Big Bad Wolf is better than Practical Pig, because it is the story of Red Riding Hood, but I really wish it was just a Red Riding Hood short. This, however, is just a sequel to The Three Little Pigs. It feels so unnecessary. It's just Disney riding on the coattails of the success of the first one. And I really dislike sequels being made for the sake of sequels. It's quite long, which I really don't think it needs to be. And yeah, I guess, like, again, it does... It showcases advancements in character design and so on, especially when you compare it to the first, but it's really slapstick. It's got, again, as I say, kind of like the drag joke that I just think's really juvenile, and I just don't think it's as good as The Three Little Pigs. So that is why I've got it on my list.
I have not seen this one, and you really didn't sell it to me when you said about these poor pigs. You know, obviously I'm a vegetarian anyway. These poor pigs getting put into a pie and then put into an oven. Sounds really dark. Like, that is not the sort of content that I want to be consuming at the moment.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I mean, it's quite lighthearted before that. And like, but it's just not necessary. Like, it feels really unnecessary. I don't think anyone needs to waste their time watching it. So that's why it's on my list today.
Cool. Next up, I have a short that I don't really have much to say about it, because unlike the one you just spoke about, which is long, this one is incredibly short, and it is Dinosaur Barbarian. Now, this is one of the short circuit shorts. So the short circuits, if you're not familiar with them, are basically Disney's version of the Pixar Spark Shorts. I forgot what they were called for a minute, despite the fact that we were talking about them to death the last couple of weeks. Yeah, it's basically Disney's answer to that, where people who worked for Walt Disney Animation were given the opportunity to come up with stories or stories that they had been thinking of for years, and they were given the go-ahead to animate them, produce them, direct them. So this one is, it's basically in the style of like a 1980s cartoon opening credits. So there's not really much that happens, and it follows the story of a superhero called Dinosaur Barbarian, who, you've guessed it, goes off and fights dinosaurs. But then there's some random thing that happens in the middle, and it's decided he comes across like a princess or something. It's not really clear who she is, and then realizes he needs to clean up his act. So then he starts cleaning while he's fighting. So there's a shot of him fighting off a dinosaur while he's vacuuming, stuff like that. And for me, it's just really all over the place. There's no narrative to it, because it is obviously intended to be, you know, in the style of an opening credits to, you know, a TV series or something. But yeah, for me, it just didn't evoke any sort of emotion at all. There's a really annoying song that comes with it that, you know, has some very literal lyrics. The superhero, I say in inverted commas, himself, he just, again, the animation of him really makes me cringe. Like, I actually cringe even saying this, Mercedes. I know you very well, I know you would be exactly the same, but there's a bit where like he lifts up his armpits and like he's got this like curly armpit hair, and then like all this like bad smell drifts out of it, and it's just that then like follows him around for like the whole 3 minutes that this thing goes on for, and it just really makes me cringe. Like, this character really reminds me of He-Man. I've never watched He-Man, but I think everyone knows who He-Man is. He's like iconic 80s 90s, again, similar sort of superhero vibes, I guess. So yeah, for me, it lacks, where, you know, there are some really good of these short circuits. There's that really lovely one where you've got the plasticized ballet dancer. I'm not familiar with all of them, but yeah, that follows more of a narrative, whereas this just doesn't, and for me, it's just a big no.
Yeah, I haven't actually ever seen this, and after depicting his armpit really, really well to me and creating that mental image, I don't think I will.
You don't need to, trust me.
No, it sounds awful. Yeah, I don't know if I can top a gross armpit.
I always feel really bad putting things like Short Circuit, Spark Shorts into these lists, because it's so great that these people that would never normally be given the opportunity to have their work come to life have been given the opportunity. So I don't want to slander it, but I think for these lists, sometimes you have to kind of take them out of that context and actually... Yeah. Them, and you know, this is all our preference as well, right? So
exactly, as we said before, the world would be a boring place if we all like the same thing. And also, I do think sometimes with the Spark Shorts, the Short Circuits, they're a lot more experiential, and ultimately by that very nature, it's not going to appeal to some people and it's going to appeal to others. So I think that's all good. You know, I probably offended loads of people by ignorantly adding the Cookie Carnival to my best Disney list before researching. So, you know, everyone's different, and we'll leave that there. I am going to redeem myself on that though in just a bit, which I'm quite excited about, but there we are. So I haven't put it in my worst list. I wanted to, because I'm so angry, but yeah, I didn't do that because that felt like a cop out. It's an honorable mention, dishonorable mention. Okay, so I have not got that, as I said. What have I got? Well, I did already spoil my list and tell you that I've only got Silly Symphonies today. So what other Silly Symphonies could I possibly have? The next one I have got has got a 6.7 on IMDb, so rated by audiences a little bit less favorably than the other shorts that I've spoken about today. And this one is Moth and the Flame. And Moth and the Flame is, again, another early classic Silly Symphony that cannot be found on Disney Plus. So instantly, I'm like, why? Why is this not on Disney Plus? Now, I confess, unlike The Little Pigs, this is not one that I saw as a child. This was brand new to me as an adult researching for this podcast. And oh my God, it became clear to me instantaneously why this isn't on Disney Plus. So basically, Moth and the Flame is the story of two moths, two lovers, a female and a male moth that live in ye olde clothes shop or something like that. And basically, this male flame, if anyone's familiar with Matthew Bourne's Nutcracker, I know that's incredibly niche. Anyone that studied A-level dance will be all over this. There's a character in Matthew Bourne's Nutcracker called Licorice Allsort, and he's this sleazy, he's got a Knickerbocker Glory head of whipped cream and a cherry on top, and he's got a thin little moustache and a pinstripe suit, and he's a sleazy predator, basically, that tries to take Clara and lure her into the land of sweets. And that is who the flame character from Moth and the Flame reminds me of. If you get that reference, you are one of my people. So this flame is a creepy predator type, and he basically preys on the little female moth, who is hypersexualized, and that might be the reason that this isn't on Disney Plus, but upon watching, I think I know why this isn't on Disney Plus. So you've got this, yeah, hypersexualized female moth character, and the male moth, the boy moth, isn't giving her the attention that she craves. I think he's eating his hat at one point, because, you know, moths eat clothes. Nice little gag there, Disney. So he's like far more interested in eating this hat than he is paying the female moth any attention. So she accepts the advancements, you know? Why would you not? You're a girl, you know, I don't know, boyfriend, whoever, I don't know if it's her husband, I don't know if they're married. He's not giving you any attention. And along comes this smooth-talking flame character who does want to give her a bit of attention. And basically, carnage ensues. The flame starts to burn everything in its path. I would say this is quite an experiential short, but obviously it does carry a really, really strong message. And there's a lot of like dark themes and mature themes within this, I would say. Like, as I say, the female moth is hypersexualized, but I think the main reason that this probably isn't on Disney Plus is because this evil flame character starts to burn the entire shop down and basically wants to engulf the little moth girl and her boyfriend, fiance, husband, whatever he is, male moth friend, and burn them to death is basically his goal. So it's quite scary. I mentioned that flames were quite scary to me in The Practical Pig. That's like on steroids in this version. It's really, really scary. The engulfment of the shop in the flames is quite frightening. And I'm sure that this is probably the reason that it's not on Disney Plus. I would actually recommend giving this one a watch on YouTube, because it's quite interesting to see Disney take a risk and look at these darker, more mature themes. But it's definitely on my worst list because it's just horrible. And luckily the moths do win. So, you know, the flame is unsuccessful in his quest. He doesn't actually kill them or burn the shop to the ground. They manage to put the flame out, put the fire out. So it does have a positive message at the end, but yeah, I it's a very odd one, and so I had to put it on the list today because it's just not very cheerful.
I mean, for someone who is terrified of moths, you said moth an awful lot in that little speech.
Sorry,
there.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I've never even heard of this one, and I've just been looking it up while you're talking, and it does look hideous. I mean, yeah, I have to say that girl moth and their little friend, they do look rather cute for moths, but yeah, this looks absolutely hideous. There's also, like, I'm just looking at some stills from it, and it looks like at one point there's some hideous, like, creepy mask, and the flames coming popping out of the eye, and she's running yes. along the long nose. It looks horrible.
Yeah, the mask gets burned. So, like, lots of items in the shop do actually get burned and are destroyed. So it is quite dark.
Yeah, it's definitely not one for me. I'm quite intrigued that maybe I will watch it, but yeah, maybe it will make me feel sympathy towards moths. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
So next up on my list, I didn't really know which way to go with first and second, but I'm going to go with this one. And it is The Little Match Girl, which was released in 2006. It's another one that was on that DVD that I was given when I lived in China. Now this you may be familiar with. It is of course based on the classic Hans Christian Andersen story, which was first published in 1845. But it is the most depressing thing I think I have ever seen in my life. So the story basically follows this little homeless girl. It's all in black and white, and she sells matches. It's set in Russia, and she sells matches to people, and she basically gets ignored left, right and center. At one point she falls down in the snow and no one bothers to pick her up again. She gets like dragged off by a policeman at one point. At one point, she sees this really nice, happy family coming out of a toy shop, and they're all, you know, having laughs together. And it just cuts to her sad face because she's on her own. She doesn't have a family. She's got to be like 10, this girl. And then she walks sadly off to a little alleyway between some houses where she sits in the snow, and she has her matches because she couldn't sell them, and she strikes up some flames, and in them she has some visions. So one, for example, she envisions that she's in like a nice warm house. In another one, she's got this lovely feast in front of her, but when she goes to eat, I don't know, again, like a turkey leg or something, she's quickly snapped back to her reality. And then in another one, she's with this really warm, like grandmotherly figure. And then it cuts back to her again in the snow. And then at the very end, this warm grandmotherly figure comes to her and they walk off together. And it's then you realise that she has died in the snow. And it is just the most bleak, depressing thing I've ever seen. I do like my shorts to make me feel something emotionally. And this definitely does that. But it does make me feel incredibly depressed. And it's horrible. And especially, you know, being a mum and thinking of this poor child. And I don't know what it is about animation. If this was, you know, a live action piece, it probably wouldn't hit me in the same way, but I find animation way, way sadder than I do with live action. And again, it's another one that was intended for the scrapped Fantasia project, but didn't make the cut, so they released it on its own. Originally, when Disney execs first saw the storyboard for this, they were like, nah, that ending is way too depressing for us, change it. So they tried a few happier endings and they just didn't get the go ahead with it. No one would agree on it. So that's why they did have the depressing ending. And I think that that is good because it is based on that Hans Christian Andersen tale. I do think that there would have been outrage and uproar if they'd have changed it and Disney-fied it more. But yeah, it's that classic thing. Again, like I said, it was intended for Fantasia 3. So it's all about the score. It's, I don't even know what the score is for this. Again, I don't know if it's original or not. Should have done my research, but it really fits with it. It's really bleak, really depressing, like classical music with no spoken narrative in it. Yeah, it's just one, you know, I watched it again the other day for the second time in my life just to jog my memory when we knew we were doing the worst list of these shorts. I absolutely knew this one was going to be on there. And it's not because it's badly produced or a bad story. It's because of how it makes me feel. And I don't like anything too depressing. So there we are.
Cool. On the score, it was originally going to be Claire de Lune, which is like my favorite piece of classical music. But they ended up using that for Nocturne instead. So they went with Emerson String Quartet playing String Quartet number 2 in D major, which I'm not familiar with. It's an Alexander Borodin piece. Couple of things you said that I really like this one, first of all. I have actually seen this one out of the other scrapped Fantasia projects, and I didn't know it was from there, so thank you for teaching me something today. I don't have an issue with the story because it's based on the Hans and Christian Andersen fairy tale. I'm really pleased that they stuck to the original, but controversially, you said you think there would have been like an uproar or whatever if they'd moved away from it. I disagree because Disney are incapable of sticking to the original story of anything. More recently than even the Little Match Girl, we've seen, why has his name now gone out of my head? Hans Christian Andersen, my goodness. We've seen his Snow Queen adapted into Frozen, could not be further away from the original. Hans Christian Andersen's Little Mermaid could not be further away. End of the Little Mermaid, for those of you that aren't familiar, she dies. She turns into one of those shrimp creatures that Ursula creates and she dies. Snow Queen, obviously the Snow Queen's the villain, but I guess Frozen's more of like a based on rather than a straight adaptation. Beauty and the Beast, not got a happy ending. Sleeping Beauty, Charles Perrault, she dies. Like, that, they die, most of them. Tangled, based on Rapunzel, she ends up blind. So I don't think there would have been an outcry. I'm massively contradicting myself here. So what I want to say is I don't think there would have been an outcry if they'd adapted it, because that's what they're best at doing. And audiences like yourself, Tash, like a cheerful ending, and it probably would have been better received had they adapted it. That said, I personally am really glad they didn't. And it doesn't bother me that it's not a feel-good short because it's based on the original.
Yeah, I do agree. I know what you're saying. And I think that had this been a feature length, I mean, I don't know why they would ever decide to make this depressing story a feature length. But I think that then, of course, they would have changed the ending. But I think the fact that it is a short and, you know, we don't get too involved with this character of the girl, like we don't know too much about her and stuff, like there's less exploration and less time for us to kind of become really empathetic with her because we don't know her, I guess. So yeah, I think it makes sense. And also because it is a short, I think again it's that thing of talking about who these shorts are geared towards and who they're created for. They weren't necessarily creating this for a child audience.
No, kids don't watch Fantasia. Like, I'm sure, you know, I know Walt had delusions that maybe it was family friendly, but no, Disney know that kids aren't watching Fantasia. It's interesting you say about if it was a longer, like a feature length animated movie, because I'm pretty sure in the original you do meet the Little Match Girls, like family, like I'm pretty sure she's got like an abusive dad and stuff, so there probably is more they could go with, and maybe they could have given this Little Match Girl a happy ending and instead of her dying. But you know, all good fairy tale characters die at the end of their story. It's kind of like a rite of passage, especially in a Hans Christian Andersen story. So there we are.
Absolutely. Okay, so we are down to the final two. So Mercedes, what have you got?
What have I got indeed? I said this was going to be my redemption moment for the Cookie Carnival last week. And it is, I think, because I found something even worse to put on my list today for the worst ever Disney short. And I'm going to confess, this is one that I absolutely was not familiar with until we started researching today's episode. This is not one that I watched as a child. It's not one that I've seen on Disney Plus. Of course not. And I think that the reason I didn't see this as a child is because even a 90s audience would know that this is not acceptable. So where the Cookie Carnival was shown frequently on Disney Channel in the 90s, even in the 90s, we knew that children should not be watching this. And I have gone with the classic Cannibal Capers. And straight away you're thinking, oh my god, what the hell has she found? So Cannibal Capers has got 5.4 on IMDb, and immediately I'm like, who is voting this more than one? Anyone that would give this more than one star, that you need to go look at yourself long and hard in a mirror. Basically, Cannibal Capers is a black and white Disney short. It was directed by Ub Iwerks, and obviously he was one of the earliest collaborators with Walt Disney and one of the co-creators of Mickey Mouse as well. So very prestigious in the world of Disney. And it is part of its Disney's Silly Symphonies series. It's quite experiential, very abstract animation. And if you look it up online, it will tell you very delicately that Cannibal Capers features a cast of anthropomorphic animals engaging in musical antics. I'm not sure what kind of animals these creatures are meant to be. They don't look like any animals that I'm familiar with. And looking at it today in 2024, with my view, I'm just going to come out and say that I think these are incredibly racist depictions of African people. It's clearly set in a jungle African landscape. You can see kind of the houses and things in the background. And these horrible, horrible depictions are very consistent with some of the other racial cartoons that we've seen from the Walt Disney Company back in the day, and also other film studios as well. They look very reminiscent of minstrels, gollywogs, these horrible exaggerated depictions of black people that are absolutely not okay for a contemporary audience and really should never have been okay. So that is my issue with this short. It is incredibly, incredibly racist. It definitely has skeleton dance vibes in that it's a black and white short and you've got these four central figures doing this kind of exaggerated cartoony dance. But whereas Skeleton Dance is my absolute favorite Disney short, it makes me crack out laughing, laughing out loud. I know what I'm trying to say. I love Skeleton Dance, is basically what I'm trying to say. This isn't funny in the slightest, because as soon as you've seen these grotesque, mortifying depictions of human beings, there is nothing remotely funny about this short. It's absolutely disgusting. As soon as it started, I was like, and this is why it's not on Disney Plus. So the other thing as well that I would say is not okay about it, and again, kind of, I mean, it's definitely meant to be a racist depiction of Black people. I don't care if the internet says that they're anthropomorphic animals. What animals are they? Because they don't, Disney are very good at animals, and these are not any animals I'm familiar with. But also there's like a lot of jazz music in the background, and in the 1930s when this was made, the jazz scene was obviously synonymous with Black people as well. I guess the only positive about it is that it serves as a reminder to us as a modern day contemporary audience of the need for critical analysis when we look at these shorts, and, you know, the understanding the importance of kind of a contextual understanding when we evaluate any kind of historical media. I think that is literally the only positive that I could spin from this if I had to spin a positive. Otherwise, you know, if you think Song of the South is bad, wait till you see this. Cannibal Capers, I'm not advocating for anyone going to watch it on YouTube, because, I mean, if you want to educate yourself, you're curious, fine, you know, I'm not going to stop you, but I you know, we don't want to give it any more views, give it any more coverage than it needs. It's an abomination.
Yeah, this is one that I'm not familiar with as well, but upon Googling it straight away, completely agree with you. I don't know what animals these are meant to be in any universe. But yeah, it just seeing the image gives me like the chills. Do you know what I mean? Like, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I can totally see why Disney have completely, you know, cut all ties with this one in a way.
Yeah, there's another one as well that I found that is called, I think it was called something like Monkey Melodies. And that's black and white, and it is just loads of monkeys swinging in the trees. And that was kind of like making me feel uncomfortable. And then I found this, which was made at like the same time. And I'm just like, it all just feels really quite awful. But yeah, this one specifically, I mean, the little like hair ties and the skirts, and, you know, they've definitely got human hands and feet. I just, you know, Disney are very good at animals. In fact, we see a lion in this. So what animal is it meant to be? I don't know. I guess you're not going to find a synopsis that says this is a very racist interpretation of, you know, no one's going to come forward and confess that, but trying to palm it off as anthropomorphic animals, like, really?
Yeah, it makes me feel very, very uncomfortable just looking at it. So I think that is very worthy to be so high up on this list. I feel like my next one is not as controversial, and is not, I don't think I can top that, is what I'm basically saying now. And again, this is one that is a real one, depending on like your taste and what you're into. So in my top spot, I have gone for Destino, which is the surrealist short that was created by Walt Disney himself and Salvador Dali. Now, production originally began back in 1945, but then again, similar to some of the other shorts I've spoken about today, it was scrapped and it wasn't actually completed until 2003. And then they decided again about maybe putting it into that Fantasia that got abandoned, but that never happened. So it got released on its own. And for me, this one, you know, it's all about the experimental art. And I am just not someone, I'm not an arty person. I'm not someone that, you know, I can appreciate the work of Salvador Dali, of course, but that kind of surrealist art is not really my cup of tea. And this is all about that. I don't even really know what the narrative is. It follows a lady and there's lots of dancing in it, which is why when I first watched it, I thought I might quite enjoy it, but then it just got completely lost on me. There's lots of weird imagery, as you can imagine, lots of weird stills, things like that. So yeah, there's not a lot else I can say about this one, but it's just not my bag at all.
I completely understand why you've got this on this list, but it does make me a little bit sad. I've got a bit of a bias towards Destino, because those of you that have been listening for a couple of years will know that when I visited Walt Disney World in 2022, I stayed at Coronado Springs, and obviously part of Coronado Springs is the newly opened Grand Destino Tower, which is a gorgeous building. The architecture is very familiar or very similar, I should say, to the Shanghai Disneyland Hotel, but there's a lot of Spanish elements, a lot of Dali artwork, and lots of things are taken from Destino, hence the name, the Grand Destino Tower. I don't like the short though, but I'll always have a soft spot for it because of you know, my amazing experience at Grand Destino Tower. But can that redeem a short? I don't think so.
That's really interesting. I never knew that about the Grand Destino Tower.
Yeah. So maybe it'll give you a new appreciation as well. I think it's more, it gave me an appreciation of the tower because I could find artwork and Salvador Dali elements, but there's nothing, you don't watch the short and like see the tower. And yeah, so, but yeah, it just made the tower a bit more interesting to me. And then you've got the Dahlia Lounge upstairs as well, which has got like, yeah, it's more Dali than the actual Destino short, but that's why it's called Grand Destino Tower.
Interesting. So there we have it. They are our worst picks. I've really enjoyed the past few weeks talking about shorts and doing our best and worst. And as always, if there's anything you think that we missed, any other really controversial, awful shorts you think we should go and try and hunt down on YouTube, please do let us know. We're always available on Instagram at @ChatToDisney.
Or you can find us on X at @ChatDisneyUK, email us chatdisneyuk@gmail.com, or send us a message directly from the Spotify app. Until then, we'll be here next time, Monday, same time, same place. Do get in touch. And as Tash said, there's definitely going to be other controversial shorts that we just didn't have time to watch. So if we have missed anything, definitely let us know.
Bye for now.
See you then.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.